The Patriot. We interrupt our regularly scheduled programming to bring you sports, sponsored by Wayne State University Athletics.
Pitch it to Kendall Williams. He's got daylight. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Wayne State Warriors. First down and more.
Touchdown.
25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Try the pitch. Coming near side. Lots of real estate. 30, 35, 40. Finally pushed out of bounds. How about Manny Harris there? A nice gut. 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kendall Williams does it again! Dragged out at the 35, ball came loose! Ball came loose! Bushman picks it up down the near sideline, knocked out of bounds at the 14-yard line!
Warrior football is on the air. Wayne State University and the Patriot Detroit proudly present Warrior Game Day. Let's head out to the stadium for today's pregame show featuring Sean Valigian and Josh Rennell.
Welcome in, Warrior fans. It is game day here on the campus of Wayne State University. Not just any game day, it is senior day. Always a very special day. And on that note, Josh Rennell, boy, it doesn't seem like that long ago. I was actually talking about it on my radio show with Detroit Lion great Lomas Brown. Your senior day in 2011, where you guys unfortunately fell to Finley on that afternoon. And I'll never forget you guys, including number 19, kind of kneeling on the field as if to say, wow, this is it. It stinks to go out that way. Obviously, you got Second Life. Who can forget the run you guys made all the way to the championship game? But my goodness gracious, Josh, the last 12 years fly by, and the careers of these young men fly by as well. For many of them, this is the last game they're ever going to play.
Yeah, and it's something for these boys to be able to be on Tom Adams Field one more time. They'll still have one more game to finish the season, but that's away at Ferris. So this will be their final home game for the seniors. And to your point, Sean, it'll be emotional. And they're going against, you know, one of, if not the toughest opponent in Division II football, currently ranked as high as number two in the polls, Grand Valley State. And this is a team that I know Wayne State is, let's be honest, the odds are going to be stacked against them. But how great of an opportunity, if you want to have a memorable senior day, senior season, right some of the wrongs of this season, coming away with a win against a nationally ranked top team in Grand Valley, you can't really ask for a better opportunity than today.
Boy, what a big statement that would be. There's no doubt about that. As you mentioned, I mean, listen, we've gotten used to it. Grand Valley's one of the top teams in the nation year in, year out. Certainly this year, no exception. On top of the GLIAC, we're able to knock off Ferris State. I know that's been a bugaboo for them for quite some time. But this is a team that this might be their most dangerous team we've seen, and that is saying a lot.
Yeah, it is. I mean, their only loss of the season was in overtime the opening week of the season against the current number one ranked school in Division II football, Colorado State School of Mines. And so that is obviously, you know, we talk about Wayne State's schedule that they've played. Well, Grand Valley's played a heck of a schedule thus far themselves. Not only the Colorado School of Mines, they also play Colorado Pueblo, who's been a perennial good Division II football program. They obviously, as you mentioned, Sean, knocked off Ferris State already, which Wayne State's yet to play. So they've also gone through the gauntlet with only one blemish, being that opening week loss. So, again, this is a team that is locked and loaded. This offense, folks, get this. They average nearly 53 points a game.
Oy.
I mean, I don't believe in all my time in following Wayne State football, I've seen as potent an offense as this Grand Valley offense this year.
It is going to take a gallant effort today to put a scare into Grand Valley. Make no mistake about that. But we've seen a lot of gallant efforts over the years, whether it be a pick six at Davenport by my broadcast partner, Brady Beaton, or a heroic overtime run by my broadcast partner today, Josh Rennell.
Getting it in early there.
Got it done. Click the box. Every game, I got to mention that for you guys. That way people don't forget, right? That way people don't forget.
Yep.
We got a big game coming up. Big pregame show coming up as well. Don't go anywhere when we come back. We'll get Josh's thoughts on keys to a victory. We'll head into the locker room for a senior spotlight and the conversation with Coach Wheatley as well. It is your countdown to kickoff right here on your home for the Warriors, FM 101.5 and AM 1400, The Patriot.
When it comes to business, Warriors mean business. Whether you're dreaming of making a profit, making a difference, or both, the lessons learned here can be applied anywhere. In the neighborhood, around the state, across the country, and in the far corners of the world. Through the Mike Ilitch School of Business, you'll learn theory and practice to prepare you for every idea, opportunity, and business model. At this incredible new facility in the District Detroit, business leaders teach classes, students become interns, and graduates get recruited as high-level talent. We're more than in the heart of the city. We're in the heart of the business community, with access to influential thinkers from the public and private sector. We have the tools, the technology, and the relationships that create opportunities for success. So if you're looking to create, innovate, or disrupt, we'll take that drive and make it stronger. To see how being Warrior Strong changes the way the world does business, visit wayne.edu.
There's more to come in the pregame show. Next.
Uniprop is proud to sponsor the fine athletes that participate at Wayne State University. Wayne State is the heart of Detroit, and the young student athletes that represent the university and the city are a great example of dedication to living a healthy, productive life. Uniprop has been based in southeastern Michigan for 40 years, investing in private equity and real estate to support the area and its residents, and the support for Wayne State is just an extension of that.
You're listening to Wayne State University Warrior Football.
Welcome back, Warrior fans. It is your countdown to kickoff on your home for the Warriors, FM 101.5, AM 1400, The Patriot. And, of course, we'll be on Flow Sports today, thanks to our friends from the prep. Always a busy time of year in the GLIAC. Josh Rennell, before I ask you, some players to keep an eye on. Ferris State and Davenport getting together today.
Oh, wow.
That
good
should
one.
Be a good one. Michigan Tech is playing at home. Northern Michigan. It has not been cat time this year. Not so far, but they have an opportunity to make the clock strike cat time today as they travel to Saginaw to take on Saginaw Valley State. Who are some guys you have your eye on looking ahead into this one, Josh?
Well, let's go with Justin Cox. I mean, I just have to, any Warrior fan that's been paying attention to the team the last few weeks, seeing this freshman step in at the quarterback role and get a win or two under his belt, it's been pretty impressive. He almost led the team to that Saginaw Valley win. And, I should say almost led them to a Saginaw Valley win. Lost in overtime, but a valiant effort, again, as a freshman stepping in tough circumstances, but did get that win last week. After a tough first half, they brought it all together. And Deion Brown, I thought, was a big-time playmaker for the team last week. And then defensively, let's go with a senior who it seems like he's been at Wayne State now for 6 years, because I think it has been 6 years. Drake Reed has been a two-time captain now for the squad, and he had a great game last week, also had an interception. So I think, you know, those are the guys. So it's funny to say a freshman quarterback on senior day, but I remember as an underclassman wanting to go out and play your hardest for those seniors when it was not your – when you weren't a senior, you didn't want to let those guys down. So offensively, I think Justin Cox, he's going to have his best game because quite frankly, I talk about how potent Grand Valley's offense is. Grand Valley's defense is pretty darn good, too, to getting after the quarterback. But Drake Reed, defensively, look for him to lead the defense.
A lot to like about the play of Justin Cox, the young man from Akron, Ohio. He's getting in his third game of action. And, Josh, you know this, but for our listening audience, the good news is if they keep him inactive next week, he can keep an extra year of eligibility.
Wow.
Those are the ways the rules work now. If you get in under three games, he can keep an extra year. So we could have 4 years potentially of this young man who, Josh, honestly, promising moments out of this young man. He doesn't play like a freshman. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. I know that was not always the case. Back when I was playing tonight, Sean, I'm just drawing our attention down to the south end zone. Coach Wooster, we haven't mentioned him yet, but he is the head football coach for Grand Valley State this year, former Wayne State player and coach, but he was just over there saying hi to a lot of the W Club and Tartar 12 members. Tony Ortiz, I think, got a chance to say hi to him down there. So that's just a class act. He was a coach of mine when I played. He probably has a lot of folks back here he knows, but by all means, now he is the enemy. So it's going to be an interesting storyline for this game because, again, he is the new head coach, I believe the eighth head coach of Grand Valley football. But, boy, is he going to have some – talk about emotions for senior day. There's going to be some emotions on the opposing sideline and Coach Wooster.
He is a good man. He has a great family. And I have no qualms saying I will root for him every week except this one.
I'm with you on that.
Your countdown to kickoff continues here on your home for the Warriors, FM 101.5 and AM 1400, The Patriot.
No other university in Michigan is located in a more exciting place than Wayne State. Why? Because when you live here, you're living in a place that combines campus life and city life. You can choose from a variety of room styles that are all close to classes and to the best of Detroit. Our modern rooms include central air and other amenities, many with a full kitchen. Away from class, you can cheer for the Warriors on the field, court, or diamond. Join any of our 400 student groups or just grab a coffee and hang at our student center. Join the thousands of students who already live on campus at the only state school that's 100% Detroit City and the only one where being Warrior Strong is stronger than ever. To schedule a tour online or on campus, visit wayne.edu/tour.
There's more to come in the pregame show. Next.
Student loan, car loan, credit card, whatever your financial needs are, Michigan First Credit Union is here to help. As the official financial institution of Wayne State Athletics, we have 2 branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus. Stop in or visit MichiganFirst.com for locations and details about how we can save you more money. Michigan First Credit Union is a proud supporter of Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
Welcome back in, Warrior fans. Our countdown to kickoff here on your home for the Warriors, FM 101.5, AM 1400, The Patriot. We are about 22 minutes away from kicking this one off, the season finale out here at Tom Adams Field. Boy, this year blew by, at least the home portion of the schedule. Josh, as you mentioned, one more game for the Warriors after today. We will be in Big Rapids next week, taking on Ferris State. But in the meantime, Josh, look, there's no way to sugarcoat this. One of the best teams in the nation. How do the Warriors find a way to win this one?
It's got to be a complete team effort. And let's be honest, you're going to need some bounces and things go your way. I know Coach Wheatley in his pregames talked about the turnover battle. It's an absolute must in this type of environment, this type of game. You cannot lose a turnover battle and expect to beat the number two team in the country. So they gotta, and I'm not just saying by one turnover. You're gonna need to have a couple turnovers defensively. You need to be aggressive and go for that ball. So multiple turnovers are gonna be a key to Wayne State. You're going to need someone out of, really, when you have a big upset take place, you need really a player to step up that you don't really see coming. So I'm not going to go out on a limb and say who I think that could be, but you're going to need someone that maybe has, you know, been flying under the radar, but come in and make one big play or maybe a couple big plays in the game and really just catch their opponent off guard because they weren't expecting it either. So you're going to need a lot of, you know, unique circumstances. I don't think you can go ho-hum into this game and just expect to win by doing what you normally do. I think the last thing I'll say is you got to open up the playbook offensively. I think you got to show Grand Valley something they haven't seen on tape yet. You've got to throw in some trick plays that are well-timed. You're going to have to pull out all the stops to win this one.
No doubt about that. Weather is going to be a little bit of a factor. We're expecting some mist for a while here down in Detroit. I wouldn't call it rain, Josh. It's more of a mist.
Right.
Is that the best way
to say
it?
Yeah, I would say mist is a good. It's just a damp atmosphere out there. Damp kind of conditions. Field is a little bit soggy, but not no puddles, but yeah, just a slight mist. I think that's a good way to
describe
it. We got to
keep Tony Ortiz dry down there. Poor Tony has seen a little bit of everything this year. So we'll check in with Tony in just a little bit. Our countdown to kickoff continues. Don't you go anywhere. We will head into the locker room, a senior spotlight, and the conversation with Coach Wheatley on your home for the Warriors, FM 101.5, AM 1400, The Patriot.
Doctors, lawyers, social workers, musicians, chemists, and more. At Wayne State University, our degree programs are designed to create difference makers. Researchers who improve everything from neonatal care to the delivery of fresh, clean water. Doctors who use data to treat the underserved. Engineers who change the way cars are powered and driven. Entrepreneurs who see opportunities in business to shift markets, to drive demand, to innovate in the supply chain, in manufacturing, in design and marketing. Artists who refuse to do what's been done and push forward with things that are new. We never slow down our pursuit of a better future. We only speed up because our drive to be Warrior Strong is stronger than ever. For more information, visit wayne.edu.
Hey, Warrior fans. Join us on the night of November 10th for a fall-winter crossover doubleheader. The Wayne State men's basketball team will take on Hillsdale at 5 p.m. in the Fieldhouse for their 2023-24 season opener, and then the Wayne State volleyball team will face Parkside at 7 p.m. in the Math Eye for family night in the team's second-to-last home match of the 2023 regular season. We hope you can join us. Go Warriors!
The pregame show continues with the senior spotlight.
Welcome back to another edition of the senior spotlight. I'm Brady Beaton. This week, joined by senior Jared Short. Jared, thank you so much for taking some time out of your week and coming and talking with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So let's talk about how you got to Wayne State and the whole recruiting process. I'll just keep it simple. When you came to Wayne State, what sold you on Midtown and what sold you on coming to Detroit?
Yeah, so at first I didn't really know a whole lot about Wayne State. But when I came on my visit, meeting Coach Winters and Coach Kaz, they really sold me really the family environment here and all the opportunities you're exposed to in Detroit really sold me here. So the day after my visit, I committed right on the spot in the soccer room. So
it wasn't a tough decision for you, and where was that in your process? And I'm guessing it seems like it was a pretty easy decision for you.
Yeah, it was a pretty easy decision. I mean, as soon as I got here on my visit, it felt like home, so it was pretty easy for me to make that decision.
So since you've been here, you've seen a little bit of everything. You've seen some ups, you've seen some downs, you've had a season get canceled. What have you learned in this time at Wayne State? Like, what have some of the experiences taught you? Because you have been as tried as any college football player really ever has.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you just got to fight through the adversity and keep moving forward. I mean, you're going to have ups and downs. That's just how it is, and that's how it is through life. So you just got to keep fighting and, I mean, have fun. It's football.
Right. I've been asking a lot of the seniors about it because it's something Wayne State hasn't had to go through in basically two decades is a coaching transition. And you get used to one regime and then you transition over. What was that like? Because I'm sure a lot of the young guys were looking to you guys for guidance, the seniors, but it was just as new to you. What was that whole process like?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a mix-up, a bit of a change, but, you know, with the new coaching staff, I'm super excited with who we are right now and who we got. You know, it's been a little weird having to go through a new coaching staff every year, but, you know, just like fighting through adversity is the big thing, so I'm just happy where we are right now.
Well, basically not too far apart. You had the COVID non-year, and then you had the coaching transition. How many normal years have you had? Because it feels like every year there's a little bit of a curveball to it. You just can't have a – this is the first normal season you've had in a little while, but that's still with the transition.
Yeah, I mean, we really haven't had any normal years. There's always been something a little switch-up going on, but – you know, COVID was a bit weird having to do workouts from home the whole year and all that. But, you know, this year I feel like we've really came together as a team and really working our butts off to get better each and every day.
So as the season has drawn on and now you're near the end, talking with some of the young guys, because it goes by in a flash that you were the young guy coming in just trying to figure out what's going on, how do I do things. What's something you've learned and what's something you try to pass on down to the next generation of Wayne State football players?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I say to them is just stay consistent and, you know, work on improving something each and every day, whether it's your technique, you know, studying the playbook, and then also taking mental reps, watching the older guys so then when your number is called, you're ready to go in and take advantage of that opportunity.
So here in Wayne State, you're going to have a life after football. Where are we going to see Jarrett Short? What do you want to do? What are you studying? What are you getting your degree in?
Yeah, so I'm working on my MBA right now. My undergrad was in finance and management. I just accepted an offer in the banking industry. However, later down the road, I'd like to work with one of the professional sports teams down in Detroit. So that'd be pretty cool.
So it has to be nice knowing that, hey, once the season winds down, once you're done with school, you don't have to worry about finding a job going through that whole hunt. You're already set up to go once school and football's done.
Absolutely. That's pretty nice. But, you know, I'm kind of trying to soak in these last few days and enjoy my time.
I mean, it's a cliche, but it goes by fast. Does it? I mean, when we're recording this, you have, what, about 10 days left at football at Wayne State? What's that feeling like? Does it feel a little surreal knowing you're not down to weeks or years, you're down to days?
Yeah, I mean, it is really surreal. I mean, I remember coming here for my visit, so the time really flew by, but I've enjoyed every single day of it.
Well, Jared, I really appreciate it. Thanks for your time, and good luck in banking and anywhere else you end up.
Thank you.
He's Jared Short. I'm Brady Beaton. You're listening to Wayne State Warrior Football.
This is a great day for Henry Ford Sports Medicine. As the official team physicians for the Detroit Pistons and care provider for the Detroit Lions, today we welcome another athlete whom we proudly care for, Lisa.
How is your injury?
It turned out to be just a twisted knee.
When can you return to Zumba?
Maybe next week.
Lisa, one more question.
Henry Ford Sports Medicine, official team physicians for athletes like Lisa and you. Learn more at henryford.com/sports.
There's more to come in the pregame show. Next.
College athletes build on every opportunity to play, to grow, to break glass ceilings, to blaze a trail, to expand the mind, to leave a legacy, to change history, to win. Because to college athletes, opportunity it's just the beginning. Learn more at NCAA.org.
The pregame show continues inside the locker room.
Welcome back to another edition of the Locker Room Report. I'm your host, Brady, being joined, as always, by Wayne State head coach Tyrone Wheatley. Coach, thanks for joining, and congratulations on a nice win up in the Superior Dome.
We had to go a long way to get one.
Yes, you did, and that's something that Wayne State struggled with the last handful of seasons. It's been a while since they've had a win on the road. It was back in October 2021 the last time they won a road game. Has to feel nice to get that first road win and to do it after a flat first half, a dominant second half.
Well, once again, wins are hard to come by. And so I just want to say congratulations to the guys. I mean, it was a, like you said, hard-fought game. First half we came out, it was kind of the war of attrition, feeling each other out. You know, the whole football cliche book, if you want to pull it out, you can in that game. But second half, it was one of those deals where, like you said, it's been a while since we've had a road game win. And then, as you and I were talking about previously, we want to – this game was really very, very monumental for us in various reasons because, A, they were up in the series on us 8-9, so we were down one game. We wanted to tie the series and move it forward and move it going. And then at the same time, just get this thing rolling. Like you said, we hadn't won on a roll in a long time. Want to sing the victory song, the fight song in the locker room, in Marquette. So all those things was huge. And I think when you sit in the locker room, and sometimes – you don't need a fiery speech. You don't need the fire and brimstones. Sometimes it's just telling the flat old great honest truth about what's happening and then look the guys in the face and give them their time to do what they need to do.
Who'd you think played well in the win? I think there were some obvious ones with Kendall, had some nice runs. Defensively, you got after them after that first drive. Who did you see played well when you went back and reviewed the film?
Well, you go back and look at, I think Deion grew up really, you know, so there were times early in the year where we were throwing go balls or those balls, and he just kind of get faded out of bounds. He stayed, he stacked, and he fought, and he went up and got those balls. If it doesn't come down with the catch, then maybe it's the P.I. He played really well. Like you mentioned Kendall. You have to give it out to the young guy, Cox. He really, you know, he made some, still made some rookie and freshman mistakes. Right. But when we always say, you know, football will come looking for you. You don't have to go make a play. It's going to come and find you. And when it finds you, you better be ready. And he was ready in those instances, you know. So he made, like I said, made a couple of good throws, made some good checks, made some good reads. But as a freshman, does he need some work to clean up? Yes, but, I mean, he still played a good game. The offensive line came out, made the adjustments, and they played pretty good going in. Defensively, I'm just going to tell you this. Mr. Peaks is sort of turning into our, you know, our utility knife, man. Mm-hmm. This Swiss Army blade guy, he's playing safety, he's playing corner. You name it, he's doing it. I wish he would have came down with that pick, but right. I'm going to say he lost it in the lights. We'll put it that one, right? But then you turn around, Drake Reed, our captain, he played really well. So, I mean, it was just a lot of – then we have to give it to my guy, number 45. He comes back after two games being down, gets the safety, who sparks it and gets it going. So, I mean, it's a lot of guys, and that's what you want to be able to do after a game is sit here and just rattle off numerous of guys, right? Number of guys. And then don't want to get anybody upset, but it's just so many to name that you just want to say, once again, it goes back to it was a great complimentary football game.
Well, I'm sure you enjoyed the win, enjoyed the bus ride back, but not a lot of rest because you've got a pair of very, very strong opponents coming up, including a Grand Valley team that is always stacked with talent, is always going to be not just a GLIAC title contender, but a national title contender. What do you see with this Grand Valley team? Because I know they've got some dudes in just about every position group.
Well, I won't say it this week. They are not the carbon copy of what we've played, okay? To say that, you know. And here's the deal. When you talk about Division II football, they're the standard. Let's be honest with you. Let's be honest. They've done it year after year. They've done a great job of building that program, of what it needs. It's just a system of just a rotating door. They never rebuild. They reload, right? They reload, and sometimes the caliber gets bigger.
Right.
You know, and so they're the standard. And not only do you have to play sound football, hell, you have to bring your best game.
When you're planning for a very good team, I think sometimes guys can get too tight and go, okay, we can't make a mistake because you know you have to play a pretty darn good football team. But if we're just being honest, Grand Valley is going to make plays. They're going to – maybe they'll score a touchdown. They'll get a sack. Something good will happen for them because they're a talented team. How do you get this team to not waver when hey, maybe the first punch gets thrown and it lands on your chin.
Well, although it is Grand Valley, but you take the approach of a faceless opponent, right? Regardless, it's Grand Valley, Ferris, Concordia, no matter who it is, they're going to punch you. The teams are going to come after you, like we talk about all the time. They're on scholarship and they're competitors as well. So they're going to come out and they're going to come after you. They're going to go after you. And so once you do it, you just go back to what we've talked about, competitive stamina, faceless opponent. They're going to make plays. How do you bounce back and stay within the confines of your offense, your defense, and special teams and do what you're supposed to do? And if they're going to, you know, make those touchdowns and make those plays, they must beat you. We're not giving it to them. They have to beat you.
Well, I guess final question for you. Keys to getting a big win against Grand Valley, winning the wooden shoes, and, you know, stacking a couple of wins together.
Turnovers, right? We need turnovers. As you saw in the previous game, we had turnovers, and those always help. A turnover for a score on defense will be absolutely amazing. Offensively, stay in our groove. Stay in our groove. Do not allow Grand Valley to dictate or push us back, you know, on our line of scrimmage. We must play on their side of the line of scrimmage and constantly put drives together. There are going to be times where you're not going to make the big plays, but you must put together consistent drives. Keep the offense, I mean, keep the defense off the field and not turn the ball over. And special teams, do not give up big plays and flip the field.
Coach, I appreciate it. Thank you, and good luck against Grand Valley.
Thank you very much.
He's head coach Tyrone Wheatley. I'm Brady Beaton. You're listening to Wayne State Warrior Football.
Warrior fans, let's give it up to our student-athletes for their academic success during the winter semester. A school record 75 student-athletes recorded a perfect 4.0, with nearly 74% of Warrior student-athletes receiving above a 3.0 for the winter 2023 semester. The entire student-athlete population posted a 3.34 term GPA, with a cumulative GPA for all student-athletes increasing to 3.41. Nearly 77% of the 388 student-athletes in the winter term have a cumulative GPA of at least 3.0, while nearly half have a cum GPA of at least 3.5. Out in the community, the WSU Athletic Department ranks 17th nationally among all NCAA Division II institutions in terms of community service hours for the 2022-23 academic year, according to Helper Helper. Six WSU teams finished in the top 10 nationally in their respective sports. Over the last 14 years, WSU student-athletes have spent over 122,000 hours in the Metro Detroit community, making a difference and improving lives.
You're listening to Wayne State University Warrior Football.
I am so honored to lead this outstanding institution that's been so transformative for the people and communities we serve. Wayne State is truly a university of opportunity.
Dr. Kimberly Andrews-Espy, president of Wayne State University.
Wayne State is a place where dreams are realized, taking students to a different place than where they started. Where knowledge, determination, and inspiration lead to new discoveries, which together better our lives and advance our state. Come join the nearly 24,000 students who are tomorrow's leaders and proud to be Warrior Strong.
To college athletes, the whole world looks like an opportunity. One to be seized, built upon, and made better. To push their sport further. To broaden their minds, to help communities they live in, and to inspire those who follow. Because to college athletes, every opportunity is a chance to change what could be and show the world what opportunity can do. Learn more at NCAA.org.
Your exclusive home for Wayne State University football. FM 101.5 and AM 1400 WDTK, Detroit. Let's head to Adams Field with Sean Belegian and Josh Rennell for the call of today's game.
Welcome in, Warrior fans. It is indeed game day. So glad you could join us wherever you may be. Listening, of course, on your home for the Warriors, FM 101.5 and AM 1400, The Patriot, or perhaps you're watching it. Thanks to our friends at Flow and the great crew at Prep. We can't thank Chad Bush and Lavonia Alex enough. And, of course, we can't thank the third member of our broadcast team enough, Tony Ortiz. We'll check in with him momentarily to kind of set the scene for us. But, Josh, we're about to kick this one off. And one of the things that we have to do before this game starts is talk about our starting lineups, brought to you by the Metro Detroit Chevy dealers. Josh, what are we looking at?
Well, Wayne State is going to receive the ball to start this first half. So let's start with the big nasties up front, starting at left tackle Blake Bastard, and then left guard Tyler Schaubert, center at Aiden Tweedy, right guard Will Edwards, right tackle Charles Wesley. Then going to the skill positions at receiver, Darren King, Deion Brown, and Tavion Warren, tight end John Raba, and running back Kendall Williams. And one more time, if you didn't hear me in pregame, quarterback will be freshman Justin Cox.
Looking forward to it. While we have a second, why don't we throw it downstairs to the invaluable third part of our broadcast crew, Mr. Tony Ortiz. Tony.
Gosh, let me correct you here, Sean, just a little bit. You said it was misting earlier. This is not mist. This is rain. Let
me get that straight.
And second, Josh, good to talk to you again. And yes, it is a bit nippy down here. It is also chilly, so keep that in mind as well. Had a chance to catch up real fast to Scott Wooster, a guy who many of us respect. Loved him when he was here. He's the head coach at Grand Valley State. Had a chance to catch up with him. And that also points out a rookie mistake that I made. Because I knew it was going to rain, I grabbed my rain gear. Guys, the problem with my rain gear, as you can see, is it's blue, the same exact color of Grand Valley State. So I had to get it covered up. That's why I have the Wayne State jacket on. But Scott Wooster gave me a compliment, said he liked the color blue. And so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing at this point, but we're all covered up. We're all set to go real fast on the field conditions. The field is a little wet, a little slippery as you get towards the sidelines. But the water has drained pretty well off the field, so footing should not be an issue for the game.
Looking forward to it, T.O. You always look great, no doubt about it. Tony Ortiz, as I said, the invaluable third part of our broadcast team. So here we go, Josh Rennell. An opportunity to look at this fine-looking freshman. The home crowd hasn't seen him yet. We saw him in Saginaw. We saw him in the victory up in Marquette last week, but first look for the home crowd at this fine-looking freshman, number 16, Justin Cox.
And they're going to be spotting the ball at the right hash. Kendall Williams, one of those seniors, redshirt seniors, look for him to have a big game on the ground with the rain.
Cox with a man in motion, shotgun formation. Kendall Williams in the backfield along with Deion Brown. The give is to Kendall. Kendall hesitates for a moment. Not much space out there. As a matter of fact, he's pushed back. Looks like a loss of about one to start this one, setting up a second and 11.
And this is similar to what I spoke about when Wayne State took on Michigan Tech. It's really any opponent. The way Wayne State wants to establish their offense, you got to win that first down battle. And starting with a negative play on first down sets you behind the sticks and really takes you out of your game script.
Trip receivers, right side, that's Darren King, the second, Deion Brown Jr., Tavion Warren. Tight end in motion is Raba. Kendall Williams, a single setback. Cox claps his hands once, twice, keeper all the way. He's brought down. That's going to be a loss of two. Just a giant surge from those men in white, Grand Valley, all white uniforms. Of course, that blue helmet, the Warriors with that sharp-looking new helmet, the green jerseys, and white pants. So third and 13 now for the Warriors. We've got trip receivers far side, one on the near side. Kendall stays in as the lone setback. Justin Cox, shotgun formation.
Free play.
Free play here. Grand Valley jumps off, throwing to the near side.
Why'd they blow that
incomplete?
Dead?
I have no idea why they blew that.
I mean, they are going to, it's going to be offsides on the defense. So, but I think it must have been they felt, hey, he was going to have, you know, he was going to have a free shot at the quarterback, Sean, and that's why they blew it dead. Sometimes refs' discretion, if they feel the defensive player is going to be impeded to the quarterback, they will blow it dead. So, unfortunately, Wayne State didn't get the free play, but they did get the free 5 yards.
A more manageable 3rd and 8 now. Bunch formation, far side. We've got a trio out there, one on the near side. Cox, shotgun formation. Now he steps out, looks to the near sideline. Kendall Williams, the lone setback. Just underway here. No score from Tom Adams Field. 3rd and 8 for the Warriors from their own 27. Cox back to pass. Flag flies. Pass is complete near side of the field. First down up to about the 39-yard line. Good throw, good route. Complete to Darren King. Let's see what this flag's all about, Josh.
Yeah, we'll see what it is. Right now, Wayne State's sideline believes it's going to be on Grand Valley. It might have been a neutral zone infraction, and that's what it is. The neutral zone lined up offsides defensively. So two defensive offsides penalties by Grand Valley, but that penalty is going to be declined as that was a nice pitch and catch. Just a simple sticks route, ran an 8-yard curl, good pitch and catch, caught the ball, so Wayne State will take the extra yardage.
So a first down up to the 41-yard line. Cox with a man in motion, Tavion Warren. Lines up on the backfield next to Kendall Williams. The give is to Tavion. Tavion tries the left side of the line, finds a little space out up to about the 43-yard line, gain a 2, setting up a 2nd and 8.
So we'll take a that they're actually going to give him an extra yard there, Sean. It looks like
they're in a giving mood there, right?
They are.
I don't know how he got up to the 44, but I'm not going to complain.
We'll take that extra yard, and 3 yards is it's much better than the negative yard you had on the first down last set of series. So we'll see if Wayne State can take advantage now in 2nd and medium.
2nd and 7. Kendall Williams stays in as the lone setback. 2 receivers split far side. Man in motion is Tavion. The give is to Kendall Williams. Tries the meat of the line. Not much space up there. Squirms his way up to about the 45. Give him a gain of 1, setting up Josh what should be a 3rd and 6.
And so 3rd and 6 is going to be a little bit too far away, in my opinion. I don't believe Wayne State will keep this on the ground. With the weather conditions, you never know. One thing worth note, Kendall Williams just limped off of the field on his own power, but he's hobbling to the bench. I just mentioned that he's a senior. You don't want him to be down this early in the game.
DeMarco Singleton, the sophomore from Marysville, checks in. 2 receivers split far side, 1 on the near side. Cox shotgun formation on this 3rd and 6. Swings it out to DeMarco. He is hit immediately. That is going to be a loss. Back to about the 41-yard line. There is a flag on the play. Let's see what that's about.
And it looks like it could be a similar call, but we'll wait for the referees as they – and it is. It's
my
the same
– goodness.
Same call they called on Grand Valley before, neutral zone infraction, lining up in the neutral zone before the snap and during the snap. So Wayne State going to get second life here. That play is going to result in a 5-yard penalty on Grand Valley, going to set up 3rd and 1, really. So
yeah.
Wayne State's got an opportunity now where you can keep this ball on the ground.
They need about a yard and 2/3 is the way that I would say it. 2 receivers split far side. Cox in the shotgun. Going to keep the ball on the ground. Hit immediately. 2nd effort. Can't get there.
Aye.
Didn't have a chance. That was Tyus on the carry, the young man from Portage.
Yeah, and Tyus was lucky to just hold on to that football. If you watch a replay, he got hit as soon as he got the handoff. And unfortunately, I feel if Wayne State would have gotten stuffed for no gain on that play right at midfield to go for it, especially in this kind of game, you take that chance. But that was a loss of 3, setting up 4th and 4, and Wayne State sends their punt team out.
Yeah, nothing you could do. I'm with you, Josh. If you're near the 50-yard line, you think about it. But mm-hmm. This is a 4th and 4, so they're going to punt this one away. Short punt, looking for a Wayne State bounce. Takes a Wayne State bounce inside the 5 and downed at about the 1-yard line.
Now, that is going to come back, Sean,
because it hit
the, that looked like it was Singleton's helmet. And there's another flag
on
the play.
There's a flag far side of the field right in front of the Grand Valley bench.
So a couple things to consider. First and foremost, that ball skipped off of Singleton's helmet. as he was covering the punt, and so that ball would have been placed, and the refs placed it at the 26-yard line as opposed to the 1-yard line. But we're still trying to sort out the flag, this time on Grand Valley's sideline. We'll see what it is.
Max Fisher was in punting that one away, the young man from Midland.
So it was a illegal formation on Wayne State, and that penalty will be declined by Grand Valley. They'll take the result of the punt, which, again, instead of it being at the 1-yard line, which some fans saw and reacted to, because it hit Singleton at the 26 first, that's where the ball is spotted. So here's our first look at Grand Valley's offense. Wayne State's defense got to be up to the challenge here.
Midland, of course, the Kennex. Max Fisher, nice to see the senior getting the start there. So here is a look at that Grand Valley offense. Trip receivers near side, one on the far side. Back to pass on first down. Swinging out near side, complete at the 25, warming his way up to about the 31-yard line. Give them a gain of 5, setting up a 2nd and 5. Cade Peterson, another one of those guys that seems like he's been here forever. Young man from Maple City, Michigan, as we take a look at the starters, Josh.
Wayne State's defensive line, I'll start before the snap. We'll have Kobe Horn, Gus Taylor, Kane Quinlan, and Jaden Davis. Get to the rest after the snap.
Cade Peterson going to swing this one off space over the 30-yard line up to about the 33, brought down there. Good job by Carl Ware.
Yeah.
Boy, he has been everywhere the last couple
of
weeks.
And good timing, because now, speaking of the linebackers, Carl Ware leading the linebacker corps, but he's out there with Nico Mosley and Drake Reed, as I mentioned, pregame senior captain. Defensive backs, Dylan Peaks, Oster senior captain, Chavez Hawkins senior, Hayden Loya, and Anthony Walk.
3rd and 3. Cade Peterson shotgun formation sends his tight end in motion. Claps his hands twice. Back to pass on 3rd and 3. Pocket collapses around him. He makes a move. He gets out of the way of one.
Oh, my.
And he's taken off. 50, 40, 35, 30, 20. Hit at the 17 and brought down. A touchdown-saving tackle by Hayden Loya. Flying from the other side of the field. But on a 3rd and 3, Cade Peterson at 6'4", 223. Carries all the way down. Josh, you're going to mark him down at the 17-yard line.
And it's a real shame, Sean, because Wayne State had him wrapped up for a sack in the backfield. Would have been a heck of a job getting a 3 and out. And instead, that's a big gain. Peterson really ran out of gas. Loyal, good angle pursuit there to make the touchdown-saving tackle.
1st and 10 at the Warriors 17-yard line. Clock running, 8.5 to go, first quarter. No score. Grand Valley threatening. Going to keep it on the ground. Try the right side of the line. Try to follow the blockers. Not a lot of space out there, but good second effort by Tariq Reed, the young man from Davison. Kept that play alive, Josh. Somehow ends up picking up about 3.
And Tariq Reed is another player that has been there.
He's been there for 30 years.
He's been there for 30 years. He's been there a decade at a minimum. I mean, he was actually a player of theirs that entered the transfer portal before the season, maybe looking to see what his Division I prospects could have been, but came right back to Grand Valley.
Timeout on the field. We'll take a timeout as well. 8:12 to go here. First quarter, no score on your home for the Warriors. FM 101.5, AM 1400, The Patriot, and courtesy of our friends at Flow and Prep Sports.
Are you ready? Ready to find the right care that works for you? Care that connects you to what you need anytime, anywhere, and fits best with your lifestyle? Whether it's in person or in your pajamas, online or over the phone, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan connects you to the care you need when you need it most. With the largest network of doctors and hospitals, an easy-to-use mobile app, and a 24-hour nurse line. Because we're always ready to help. Learn more about Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan at bcbsm.com.
Back to Midtown Detroit and more Warrior football.
Welcome back, Warrior fans. 2nd and 7 for the Lakers at the Warrior 14-yard line. Cade Peterson in the shotgun. Back to pass. Looking into the end zone. Touchdown. Caught about 2 yards deep. I want to make sure I get the number right. I believe that was the tight end, Gavin Casso. And this potent offense, Josh, strikes on their first drive.
Yeah, and that was unfortunately another situation that Wayne State had a chance to get to Cade, but that time the holding, the offensive line held up rather, and actually very good protection. It brought a blitz. They identified it. Good protection, good throw and catch, big tight end, big target, always a target to look for in the red zone, and Grand Valley strikes first.
Snap is down, the kick is up, and the kick is good. Timeout on the field. We'll take one as well. 7-0, Grand Valley on top on your home for the Warriors, FM 101.5, AM 1400, The Patriot.
Student loan, car loan, credit card, whatever your financial needs are, Michigan First Credit Union is here to help. As the official financial institution of Wayne State Athletics, we have two branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus. Stop in or visit MichiganFirst.com for locations and details about how we can save you more money. Michigan First Credit Union is a proud supporter of Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
Welcome back, Warrior fans. So glad you could join us here on FM 101.5, AM 1400, The Patriot, and of course on Flow Sports, courtesy of our friends from the Prep. Grand Valley strikes first. They are on top 7-0 with 7:53 to go here in this first quarter. Josh, you talked about it. One of the most potent offenses in the nation. And, boy, they made it look easy, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're averaging over six touchdowns a game, let alone seven, these guys are actually near eight. They're 52 points a game. That is incredible. And when you have a chance to bring a quarterback down on third down, opening drive, and kill that momentum, Those are the circumstances that Wayne State needs to take advantage of, but they didn't. Cade had a 50-yard run that set up that touchdown.
Grand Valley kicks it off towards the north. Taken by Tavion at about the goal line. 10, 15, breaks a tackle out past the 20, brought down at about the 22-yard line. That's where Justin Cox and this Warrior offense will take over. 7:48 to go here in this first quarter. So glad you could join us. Senior day here on the campus of Wayne State University.
Well, there is some good news in that right now I he's not out on the field currently, but I do see number four. I do think Kendall Williams is at least walking around on the sideline, and he's looks like he might be able to return at some point.
Well, let's hope so. DeMarco Singleton now the lone setback. They're going to swing it out to DeMarco, batted down. Big paw out there by number 93, Charlie Nylander, a young man from Grand Ledge, read that all the way and stuck out a big paw, setting up a second and 10.
And so this Grand Valley defense is, let's also be very honest, this is a very balanced team. So talking about how great the offense is, their defense is no slouch either. They allow just about 20 points a game, but I'll be frank, in the games I've watched of them, some of those touchdowns are kind of late in garbage time. Their starting defense in this case doesn't give up many points. So Wayne State's got to be able to break open big plays and not just hold on to long drives.
Second and 10 for the Warriors. Keeper all the way. Cox tries the middle, finds some space out past the 25. Clear up to about the 28-yard line. Good pickup there. Why don't we throw it down to Tony Ortiz while we have a moment. Tony?
Hey, Sean, to follow up on what Josh was just saying a moment ago, Kendall Williams officially an injured left ankle. His return to the game is questionable. He's working with the training staff now. He's been testing it out, trying to talk his way and trying to get his way back into the game. But at this point, it looks like he's not going in for right now. Again, questionable with an injured left ankle.
Great stuff there, T.O. Appreciate it. In the meantime, third and four for the Warriors. They've got two receivers split far side, one near side. Cox in the shotgun formation. DeMarco Singleton, the lone setback. Claps the hands, back to pass, swings it out behind the intended receiver. That was Tavion Warren. Falls incomplete.
Wow, and they're calling that lateral.
They're calling that a lateral. So that's going to be marked all the way back. Boy, are they lucky that went out of bounds,
right,
Josh.
Right,
that
right.
could have been a disaster. But in the meantime, it goes out of bounds at the 18-yard line, and the Warriors are going to be forced to punt. Max Fisher, the young man from from Midland coming in to punt this one away.
Aye, aye, aye. That is not a good offensive series after Grand Valley's previous scoring drive. So giving Grand Valley the ball probably right around midfield now. Oh, but
Fisher's
it's blocked.
Punt is blocked. Picked up by the Warriors, all for naught at the 23-yard line. And this offense, it doesn't need a short field, has a short field. They are setting up shop. Let's see where they mark it officially. I believe it'll be the 23, Josh. It'll be first and 10 for Grand Valley at the Warrior 23-yard line.
And Coach Wooster is ecstatic on the sideline, pumping his guys up. Let's give credit. That was Ian Kinley, number 20. For Grand Valley, a junior from Eisenhower with the block coming right off the edge and was unblocked and nice lunging attempt to block that ball.
Well, let's see if they go up top here. Quick change, as it's called. Cade Peterson, shotgun formation, back to pass, throws, completes it, far side of the field, brought down right there. A good job by Dalen Peaks, the safety, to wrap him up, but not before he picks up 8 on that first down toss.
Yeah, good job in the open field tackle. They gave up an 8-yard completion, but that's where you got to keep a minimal gain there and not allow that to be a big play. He was out in the open field. Any football player will tell you the open field tackle is the toughest tackle to make. Dalen Peaks, one of those senior captains, making sure he doesn't make any mistakes this final home game.
Clock running, 5:55 to go here. First quarter, Grand Valley on top, 7-0. They threaten again with a 2nd-and-2 from the 15. Tariq Reed on the carry, trying to get to the outside. No, sir. Great pursuit there by Jaden Davis, the young man from centerline.
And this is exactly what Wayne State cannot do, Sean. That there's an unsportsmanlike, unnecessary roughness penalty by Wayne State on Grand Valley sideline. It was a late hit, completely unnecessary, and you just gave Grand Valley a first down instead of facing a third down and a first and goal nonetheless after that penalty. So completely unnecessary, and those are the things that makes my blood boil. As a fan of the program, you know, you can't have those mental mistakes, especially in these games where you're going up and gets an opponent that doesn't quite frankly need those extra penalties, and you're just shooting yourself in the foot. And I don't want to give out the wrong name of who did that, because I just don't want to. I thought I saw it, and yeah, okay, and kind of got an idea now, but those are the mistakes now you can't make as a defense.
I couldn't agree more. First and goal now, 7-yard line. Warriors trail 7-0. Grand Valley threatens again. Handoff, trying the near side, trying to get to the edge. 5, angles towards the end zone. I don't think he got there. They're going to mark him out right about the 1-yard line. Give him a gain of 6, but it's going to be 2nd and 2 feet away.
Yeah. That was a long drawn out spread outside zone play, and it was a good job by the defense to really draw that play out as long as they did, but they still gave the you don't want to give him the corner again around the edge, and that's what they did, and he almost reached the pylon. They'll mark it down right at the 1-yard line.
So Avery Moore now in at quarterback. First and goal from inside the 2. They are 2 feet away. I smell a keeper. Let's see how this works. Now Avery Moore's going to hand it off to Tariq Reed. Touchdown.
And another one that was too easy. Too easy as far as no penetration. Contact was made when he was in the end zone. Really quickly, Wayne State needs to regroup. And it all starts with the mental side of the game. Penalties that are not necessary that really put you in a bigger hole than you need to be, and that's the culprit was on that scoring drive. Grand Valley was going to be faced with a 3rd-and-3. Instead, they had 1st-and-goal and scored 2 plays later.
Josh Gorbelin for the point after. Snap is down, the kick is up, and the kick is good. So with 4:50 to go here in the first quarter, Josh, worst case scenario, 2 drives, 2 touchdowns by Grand Valley. They're up 14-0.
Yeah, and that's That's, again, not what you scripted or want to see as a Wayne State Warrior fan. A lot of football left in this football game, but like I Sean and I had alluded to all along in pregame, you got to be the team that jumps on Grand Valley early. You got to be the team that doesn't make the mental mistakes and doesn't have special team errors. There was a punt block that we would be remiss to not mention. That's how that started. So, again, not what we want. And, unfortunately, Grand Valley off to a quick two-score lead.
Well, as you can see, an animated Coach Wheatley making a case for his squad down there with one of the officials. I don't know what that's about, but Coach Wheatley very animated. And Josh, I'm with you. This would be a nice time to put together some kind of a drive here.
Yeah, I really think you have to, Sean. I don't think you can't go 3-and-out. I talk about mental mistakes again. The third down play was a lateral flare out to the running back that resulted in an 8-yard loss. Those are things you just can't do. Those are self-inflicted. Grand Valley didn't do anything to allow that to happen, same as the unnecessary roughness penalty defensively. And Grand Valley going with a, oh my.
Yeah, it didn't go 10 yards.
So
that's going to be Wayne State football. It did not go 10 yards, Josh. They went with an onside kick there. And So
they're going to award it to Grand Valley, right, Sean, and I'll tell you why. This is a bizarre circumstance. The ball actually bounced to 11 yards, and then it bounced backwards. So to show the replay, it took like a funky bounce. It went to 11 yards right there.
Oh, you're
and
absolutely
then it
right. Good eyes, partner.
Yeah, bounced backwards. And so that's why it looked like it was just outside of 10 yards. It bounced at the 11-yard mark, which makes it a ball that's free for the kicking team to recover. And, hey, Sean and I, we knew pregame this was a tall task. Grand Valley is not going to, I repeat, they are not going to just, you know, sit down and play a casual football game. They're out here to win and make a statement. The regional rankings just came out this past week for the first time with the actual rankings. Grand Valley was seated at third in the region.
Coach Wheatley is going to throw the challenge flag, and Josh, you nailed it looking at that replay. Great job by our crew at the prep. As you could see on Flow Sports, that went 11 yards. All it has to do is hit the 45. Nobody touched it before the 45. It bounced right back at the 45. Great eyes, partner. That is going to be Grand Valley ball right at the 45.
And
a
Wheatley
flag just was thrown as well. So when Grand Valley gets the ball back, they'll get a free 15 yards as well. Coach Wheatley was animated a few minutes ago, and, well, the animation continued.
And so they are challenging. The play is still going to go to a video review, but regardless, Coach Wheatley just got an unsportsmanlike penalty by arguing with the officials before even the replay took place. It is a bizarre play. Sean and I, we've talked about it. I see it. But the fact of the matter is, I guess, consider myself, I don't know the rule books to a T, but and the ball went 11 yards and bounced backwards. And
yep.
As long as the ball crosses the 10 yards, doesn't matter if it went backwards. It went the distance it needed to.
And if nobody touches it, Josh, that is, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
Hey, how was Halloween for the two little ones?
It was fun. It was fun. We had Woodson out there as well as my son Emmett. Emmett is the one that got to go trick-or-treating. Emmett's 2.5. Woodson's only 1.5 months. So, A lot of trick-or-treaters out there. It snowed where we were at, but Emmett had a great time. He was a Minion. He's really into those movies. But he had a great time walking around with the bigger kids and kind of seeing how to trick-or-treat.
Now, Chad Bush, of course, with the prep, just brought something up to us. Let's take a look at this replay. If Alex or Chad can get the replay, Chad is saying, did the kicker touch it before it went 10 yards? Boy, I can't tell. I can't tell.
Yeah, they're trying to say with his hand there, but that's one of those calls that I don't think, unless you have video evidence that is really going to make that clear. Yeah, I see what you're saying, Sean. It looks like his hand is almost right by the ball.
Can we look at it one more time, if it's okay to the guys in the booth? Maybe when – all right, so – it doesn't hit him there, right?
This bounce.
It
might
takes
hit
a bounce. Whoop, 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 whoop. Boy, I can't tell.
I like the replay job, though.
Aren't these guys pros, right?
They are. Getting the replay going back
Mike
and
Pereira,
forth. Slow
eat your heart out.
Slow motion here, and if it touches his finger here, that's at about 9 yards. But it's so tough to see if it does.
Yeah, I can't. Boy, but the ball does bounce backwards, right? So that would suggest that it hit his hand? Oh, goodness gracious.
This is an odd play.
This is a very odd play.
I have not quite, frankly, seen this type of football play in my years.
Officials are having a discussion. They're done looking at the replay, and we're going to get the official word out here as the referee makes his way onto the field. The defense for the Warriors is on the field. The offense for Grand Valley is on the field. So maybe they already know something we don't know. Official comes to the center of the field. His mic isn't working. The ball did go 10 yards. Wayne State is charged with a timeout, and they're going to tack on the 15 for the unsportsmanlike as well.
It was what we suspected, Sean. It was what the explanation we had thought was going to be the case. Now, to our expert replay folks here, they did have a credible point. It came close to touching the kicker's finger before it went 10 yards, but the ref explained the ball went 10 yards, past 10 yards, and then bounced backwards a yard, and that's when Grand Valley recovered the football, and hence it was deemed a ball that they could recover, and they did, and the 15-yard penalty that was assessed to Coach Wheatley now brings the ball to Wayne State's 40-yard line.
So Grand Valley gets the ball back. Cade Peterson, all the time in the world, looking deep. He's got a man out there, touchdown, just like that. Jordan Johnson from 40 yards out. And Grand Valley increases their lead to 20-0. Can we talk about Halloween? Let's think about something happy. For people out there that aren't aware, of course, Josh Rennell named his kids Emmett Smith from the Dallas Cowboys and Darren Woodson from the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, so there you go. There is another Woodson out there in the NFL.
Yes.
And a lot of people always tell me, football names, but truth be told, my wife actually is the one that thought of the name. So at least the Emmett name, the Woodson name was one that we know it's a little bit of a different name, but we thought it was a strong name for a boy, and hence we call him Woody. He's a bundle of joy. So he stuck it out in that cold, and he came out with us bundled up in his stroller, and we had some fun with him. He was probably asleep pretty much the whole time, but got to still say it was his first Halloween.
Oh, that's awesome. No, yeah. It flies by. Let me tell you, my son is 24 now. My daughter is 18. It doesn't seem like that long ago. I was walking around holding their hands on Halloween and take it all in, my friend.
Yep,
Take it all in.
Thank you. How about you? Did you guys have your movie night?
We did. We watched it. You're never going to believe this. We watched Halloween all day.
Nice.
You're never going to believe that.
But not Halloween Ends.
No. I'll never watch that debacle again. 21-0. Grand Valley on top with 4:42 to go here in this first quarter. Let's see if they kick it off this time.
Yeah, now the front line for Wayne State is going to be paying attention to the ball a little bit more.
They're going to kick it off this time. Send it deep. taken by Tavian about 2 yards deep. Up the middle, makes a cut at the 15. He's hit there and pushed back.
Yeah, I, as a former kick returner, I'll be the first to tell you, if you're going to take the ball out of the end zone, you better get it out past the 20-yard line, or else you're really just losing yards for your team. Unfortunately, that one only gets out to the 17-yard line. And I think, you know, touchbacks even now are going to be out at the 25. So it's, you got to be able to get the ball out to that yard marker. And if you don't, you're just losing yards for your team.
So Justin Cox takes over. First and 10 for the Warriors. Movement up front. Flags don't fly. Handoff to Tyus. He cuts his way over the 20 up to about the 22-yard line. Good carry on first down.
Well, and I will point out to really follow up on what Tony said about Kendall Williams. I do hope he gets back into this game, but as more series progress and he's not out there, it's seeming more unlikely. But as a senior for Kendall, I really hope he didn't play his last down on Tom Adams Field.
Second and 5, trip receivers far side. Justin Cox back to pass, and he's going to go down. He's going to go down back at the 20. No, check that, 18-yard line. Didn't have a chance. The pocket just collapsed around him.
And so Grand Valley is going to sub in their third down package now. That was a delayed blitz and not a design quarterback keeper. That will actually go down as a sack. So he lost about 3 yards on the play. Grand Valley doing a good job mixing up their looks defensively. Coach Wheatley talked about how Grand Valley does that often each week. We'll kind of have a different look up front, maybe an odd man front. Maybe they'll show a little bit of a stack look. And right now they've got about 6 guys on the line.
Third and 9. 3:15 to go here in the first quarter. Warriors trail 21-0. Justin Cox is going to go down again.
Yep. And oddly enough, he's actually going to be flung forward that he gained a yard, so it won't go down as a sack, go down as a 1-yard run. But he got wrapped up about 2-3 yards behind the line of scrimmage and just flung forward. Grand Valley number 9, that was the defensive lineman Christian McCarl, who has been very, very good for them. He's a senior out of Bradenton, Ohio, one of the leaders in the conference in sacks, just around 7 sacks on the year. Almost
nearly
another
got
blocking.
That punt again. Takes a little bit of a Warrior bounce. You are right. They are going after it today. Reba downs that at the 41-yard line, and that's where this Grand Valley offense takes over. 3 possessions, 3 touchdowns. They're up 21-0 still. 2:24 to go here in a first quarter that seems like it's lasting an eternity.
It really has, hasn't it? We look over and still 2:24, Grand Valley up 3 scores, and they do not show any signs of slowing down.
No. No, they don't. So let's see what they opt to do here. 2 receiver split, near side, 1 far side. Peterson in the shotgun, hands it off to Tariq Reed. He's got all the room in the world, out past the 50, first down and more, tripped up at about the 45-yard line.
And to give you some insight on just how balanced this Grand Valley team is, across the board, they're just well-rounded offensive, defensively, but offensively specifically, how much balance they have. Reed is their leading rusher, came into this game with just over 400 yards rushing on the season, which is not, you know, a whole lot into 8 games already into the season that they've played. So they really spread the ball around.
Peterson back to pass on first down. All the time in the world. Throws, fires, completes down to his tight end at about the 22-yard line. He already has a touchdown here, Gavin Casseau. And that's going to be a first down to the 22-yard line.
And so, as I mentioned, they spread the ball around. Tight ends, running backs, receivers, everybody is really involved on this offense. There's not one player you can necessarily target or defend. You got to defend all of them, which sounds simple, but it's not. When you have only one player that's the most dangerous player, you can kind of take him out of the game. Grand Valley's got multiple.
I think Grand Valley's going to call a timeout here before the play starts. Hey, boy, hey, Josh, why don't we just keep this quarter going, huh? Why not? 58 seconds left. Let's elongate this quarter, huh?
Oh boy. Well, let's see, Sean. I think, you know, for Wayne State in this timeout, let's keep it on the field for the moment. I think defensively, you've got to just make a play that's going to elicit a turnover. I don't think this is a Grand Valley team you could play the bend but don't break game. When you have an offense that has averages over 50 points a game, they are nearing that halfway mark in the first quarter. You can't just keep them on the field. You need to get them off the field as quickly as possible. And so what you got to do is you got to be uber aggressive. Hey, maybe you're going to give up another long touchdown pass, but you need to maybe bring some creative blitzes. When you're the second, third defender in on a gang tackle, you got to rip that ball out. Got to do something to turn this ball over, because Grand Valley is a team that's just going to keep putting points on the board the longer they're out there.
Once again, Cade Peterson at the quarterback sends a man in motion from the left to the right. First and 10 at the Warrior 22. Now another man in motion. They go to him on the jet. Makes a cut at the 25, hit at the 20, and going to be stacked up there. Want to make sure I got that right, who that was. I believe that was Kellen Reed.
I know, and I think number 8 for Grand Valley, Kyle Knott, was the, and that's technically called a reception.
It
that's
was
one of those
Kyle Knott, yep.
That's one of those push passes that you see a lot more in college and NFL now. But Kyle Knott's another one of those dangerous receivers. They got him across the board.
Young man from Jenison, gain of 2, setting up a 2nd and 8. Peterson, keeper here, going to try the left side. He has his ankle grabbed, and he is brought down there. Great job stepping up and making a play by the corner, Drake Reed. That should be the last play of this first quarter. Grand Valley on top, 21-0 after the first quarter of play. So glad you could join us on your home for the Warriors, FM 101.5, AM 1400, The Patriot, and, of course, streaming right here on the Flow, courtesy of our friends at Prep.
Hey, Warrior fans. Join us on the night of November 10th for a fall-winter crossover doubleheader. The Wayne State men's basketball team will take on Hillsdale at 5 p.m. in the Fieldhouse for their 2023-24 season opener, and then the Wayne State volleyball team will face Parkside at 7 p.m. in the Math Eye for family night in the team's second-to-last home match of the 2023 regular season. We hope you can join us. Go Warriors!
The second quarter of today's Warrior football game starts now.
Welcome back in. So glad you could join us along with Josh Rennell and Tony Ortiz down on the field. My name is Sean Belegian. Wish we had better news for you, but it was all Grand Valley in that first quarter. They are on top of your Warriors by a score of 21-0. Now currently facing a 3rd and 8 from the Warrior 20-yard line. Cade Peterson brings the offense on the field. He's got 2 receivers split far side, 1 on the near side. That is Kyle Knott in single coverage. Cade Peterson looking over that defense at the 20-yard line. Awaits the snap. Gets the snap. Going to hand it off to Tariq Reed. He's got an inside the 15, inside the 10. First down for Grand Valley. It should be a first and goal from the 10-yard line. On a 3rd and 8.
Whew. Yeah, I needed to take a breath there because that's another defensive miscue. You can simply not give up a first down on a 3rd and 8 on an outside zone handoff. That's a play that should be able to keep everything in front of you. Just pursuit by the backside. Should be able to take him down before 8 yards, but he picked up 10.
First and goal inside the 10. Grand Valley on top, 21-0, and they're threatening again here. Peterson back to pass. He's got time. He throws, touchdown. Wide open, Daryl Johnson, the junior from Belleville, And Grand Valley extends their lead to 27-0, PAT pending.
And just too much time to throw that football. And let's call it like it is. This right now has been just a master class by Grand Valley, really on all fronts. Pitching a shutout offensively, have scored a touchdown on every possession. Special teams recovered an onside kick, blocked a punt. I mean, it's all three facets of the game. Wayne State is just getting, frankly, dominated. And I just have to call it like I see it. When you're losing by four touchdowns at the start of the second quarter, it's not good. So Wayne State is this is one of those situations as a young coach and a new coach and Coach Wheatley, you're going to be faced with a lot of adversity, and they've faced some adversity already this season. They're not facing any more than what they have right now. They're going up against top caliber program, and they have not answered the bell yet. So Coach Wheatley and his guys need to really, you know, inspire some kind of motivation in his team to pick it up, because Grand Valley, again, I don't think they're going to slow down.
28-0, 14-13 to go here in this second quarter. The home finale of the 2023 campaign. We've got one more game, of course, next week at Ferris State, Josh Rennell.
Speaking of Ferris State, that great game going on right now between two nationally ranked and two teams vowing for one of those spots in the regional rankings. Davenport actually is ahead of the regional rankings than Ferris State, but Ferris State leads 14-10. Right now, 14-10, start of the second half over Davenport. And that's going to be a big one for playoff implications. Davenport has a, you know, interesting final two games. Like Wayne State plays Grand Valley and then Ferris. Davenport plays Ferris this week, then Grand Valley next week. And that was a case where same situation Davenport was in last year, lost both games at Grand Valley Ferris, but still squeaked into the playoffs. I don't know if they'll have that luck this year.
Quan Farnham checks in. Justin Cox at quarterback. Tavion Warren lined up in the backfield. First and 10 for the Warriors on their own 25. The give is to Farnham. Farnham over the right side, maybe pushes it up to the 27, give him a gain of two, setting up a second and 8. 14 minutes to go here in this second quarter. It has been all Grand Valley. They are up 28-0 here on the campus of Wayne State University.
The other GLIAC game's going on currently. It is not cat time. Saginaw Valley leads 17-0 start of the second quarter. And Michigan Tech also leads 17-0 over Minot State.
Trip receivers far side on this second and 8. Movement by the Warriors. They're going to move them back 5.
So it's one thing to be getting beat physically, just getting overpowered or you know, just the skill is just higher on one end of the field than the other. What's not okay to get beat on is the mental side of things. Now, we'll wait to see what the penalty is. Have not gotten the call yet, but it will be legal procedure on Wayne State.
Yeah, so second and 8 is now going to become second and 13 as the Warriors are going to be moved back to their own 22-yard line. Trip receivers far side. Tavion stays in just to the right of your quarterback, Justin Cox. Sends Farnham in motion. They fake the jet. Cox back to pass. Looks over the middle. Good catch. Going up and making a heck of a catch for a first down is number 7, Deion Brown Jr., the young man from Davison.
Best play so far for Wayne State. Cox sat in there, took a hit as he delivered the ball, but great job corralling that pass. Deion Brown, who had a big game last week, going to need a lot more of those, but that's a start.
Two receivers split far side, one on the near side. Tavion stays in the backfield. Cox sends a man in motion, Farnham. Claps his hands. Going to give it to Farnham. Going the opposite way. Needs a block. He's not going to get it, and he's going to be brought down for a loss back to the 34-0. By the way, I think the added bonus of a flag thrown on that play.
Yeah, and there's going to be a holding penalty on Wayne State on top of a five-yard loss. So I think Grand Valley would probably decline it, but maybe not. They marked it as a four-yard loss, but Grand Valley is going to accept the penalty. So instead of second and 14, it's going to be second and 20. Or excuse me, first and 20.
Yeah, mark it off from the spot of the foul, so they're going to push that back to the 28-yard line. First and 20 for the Warriors on their own 28. They trail 28-0. Two receivers far side, one near side. Tavion Warren, the lone setback. Cox claps his hands once, waiting the snap, now steps out, looks to the near sideline, awaiting the play call. Barks to his offensive lineman, looking over the defense, awaits the snap. The give is to Tavion. Tavion makes a cut out past the 30, brought down about the 31-yard line. Give him three, setting up a second and 17.
I'll call out an old face, or I shouldn't say old face, an old friend, but an old friend that is a good friend of the Wayne State Athletic Department, former head athletic trainer. I see Mike Chan on the sidelines talking to some folks, and it's always good to see Mike Chan. Some of the former players and alumni will know him very well. Great to see Mike Chan here supporting his old program.
Second and 17. Cox is bundled up by four different Lakers and thrown down back at the 26-yard line. So a third and 22 now? Third and 22, I believe.
And that's why Coach Wooster chose to accept that penalty rather than decline it. Wanted to move Wayne State back as far as possible because he knew that would put Wayne State really in a negative game script and having to pass this football, and his pass rush could get to Cox, and that's exactly what they did on that last play.
Shotgun formation, Tavion going to line up outside. Swing it out to Tavion, didn't have a chance. It was batted down. Big paw there by Niles King, a good-looking sophomore out of West Bloomfield. The former Laker in high school becomes a Laker in college. Flag on the field at about the 40-yard line. Let's see what that's about, Josh.
Interesting. I don't know.
Came in late. I did not see myself. So your guess is as good as mine as we take a look at the replay there. Didn't have a chance of setting up that receiver screen. That was a third and 22.
And there's two flags on the play, so two officials saw the same thing. Usually a dead ball, unsportsmanlike. It's against Grand Valley.
Boy, that gives the Warriors new life. That is a first down on a third and 22.
Wow.
Just an undisciplined play gives the Warriors new life and a first down.
And so, hey, it happens on both sides of the field. And so Grand Valley also not playing the most smart football. And I think in this instance, it was a player probably got a little bit chippy or overconfident, obviously, off to a big lead early. Probably said something to try to get under Wayne State's skin a little bit, but the official heard it himself and gave them an unsportsmanlike. I believe it was something said, some chirping going on out on the field as that third down incompletion.
10:49 to go here in this second quarter. Grand Valley up 28-0. The Warriors now with new life on this drive with a first and 10 at the 41-yard line. Four receiver set. Going to hand it off to Tavion. Breaks out of one tackle, breaks out of another tackle, breaks out of a third tackle, carries all the way up to the 47-yard line. Good six-yard run by Tavion Warren.
Yeah, it was a great run. He did have two broken tackles right inside. That was inside zone. Had to make a man miss behind the line of scrimmage, made a man miss in the right at the line of scrimmage, and turned that into a six-yard positive gain. That's the type of first down Wayne State needs, especially on the ground, to be able to open up their pass game. Second and four, they have a lot of options.
Cox in the shotgun. Tavion Warren stays in. Farnham in motion. Going to line up in the backfield. The give is to Tavion. He's got a first down and more into Grand Valley territory. Makes a cut at the 45. Brought down at about the 41-yard line. Two good runs there by Tavion Warren, the young man from Davison.
This is exactly where now Grand Valley's coaching staff is getting heated, because all of this transpired because if someone had to run their mouth after a third down play, giving Wayne State new life. Grand Valley just made a massive substitution up front, bringing in their big nasties up front, trying to shut the door before Wayne State gets any momentum further. This is Wayne State's first time getting into Grand Valley's territory.
Two tight end set for the Warriors. They've got two receivers split near side. Flags fly, and they're going to get the Warriors with a false start.
Yeah, at this juncture of the season, you don't see too many of these pre-snap penalties, but both squads have been guilty of it. And just in the first half, we're not even 20 minutes into the game, and that's now I think the fifth pre-snap penalty between both schools. So uncharacteristic this late in the season. Most teams are a little bit more polished than that.
Two tight ends set again. Two receivers split to the near side. First and 15 for the Warriors. They try the ground. A little space over the right side out past the 45 up to about the 43-yard line. That's Tyus on the carry again. Oh, no, excuse me. Let me check myself. That's Sterling.
It is. It's Sterling Benton.
Jeremiah Sterling.
From Olivet came from out of Benton Harbor, Michigan at St. Joseph. Looks like Coach Wheatley is, you know, especially looks like Kendall Williams right now is not getting back into this game. Trying out a lot of different running backs. See what they've got.
Second and 12 for the Warriors at the Grand Valley 43. Try to set up a screen. It is blown up immediately. Great read there by Ian Kennelly, the defensive back, single-handedly blowing up that screen attempt to Tavion Warren and keeps it at a third and 12.
And it's too bad Ian Kennelly made that play, because Wayne State, that was the only man they need to beat. They had a good play call, a big rush by Grand Valley, good play call on a screen to kind of take advantage of the aggressiveness, but didn't have that block made that they needed to spring them.
Justin Cox now looks to the near sideline on this third and 12. Clock running, 7:55 to go here, second quarter. Grand Valley on top, 28 to nothing. Grand Valley shows pressure. Let's see if they bring it. Cox back to pass. They bring the blitz. Throws outside, completes it, but well short of the first down. The reception made by Deion Brown Jr., but only up to the 38. They needed to get to the 31. I'm guessing the Warriors go for it, Josh. Fourth and 7 as they trail 28 to nothing.
Yeah, you got to go for this. And that was a 6-man rush. Grand Valley brought more than Wayne State had to block as the running back left the backfield, so only the 5-0 linemen up front. But good job by Cox getting rid of that football in time for a quick pickup of 5.
Fourth and 8 for the Warriors from the 39-yard line. Trip receivers near side. Cox in the shotgun. Tavion at running back. Cox back to pass. Throws over the middle. Incomplete. The pass intended for Farnham. Overshot him. Overshot a couple defensive backs. And Grand Valley's going to take over on their own 39-yard line. Timeout on the field. We'll take one as well. 28-0 Grand Valley on your home for the Warriors.
This is a great day for Henry Ford Sports Medicine. As the official team physicians for the Detroit Pistons and care provider for the Detroit Lions, today we welcome another athlete whom we proudly care for, Lisa.
How is your injury?
It turned out to be just a twisted knee.
When can you return to Zumba?
Maybe next week.
Lisa, one more question.
Henry Ford Sports Medicine, official team physicians for athletes like Lisa and you. Learn more at henryford.com/sports.
Warrior football plays on WDTK Detroit.
Welcome back, Warrior fans. 28 to nothing, Grand Valley on top here on Senior Day. 6:58 to go here in this second quarter, along with my broadcast partner, Wayne State Hall of Famer Josh Rennell. I can call him broadcasting Hall of Famer downstairs, Tony Ortiz. My name is Sean Beligian. So glad you could join us. Cade Peterson takes over on his own 38. Going to keep it on the ground. Bunched up, nowhere to go. Going to be brought down for a loss back to about the 37-yard line. We'll call it a loss of one. That handoff didn't have a chance.
Got an injured Warrior on the field, so there's going to be a break in the action. Can't quite
we'll
see the name.
Right here.
And I want to go back to that fourth down play. Wayne State had a third and what we call it long still. It was about a third and eight. Fourth and eight. The fourth down play. That was where Wayne State knew they had to throw the ball. That's also what Grand Valley knew. So they showed the same look as they did on the third down play where they brought the six-man rush. This time they showed the six-man rush and did what a lot of defenses call a zone blitz. And two of those pass rushers that were up on the line of scrimmage dropped back into coverage. That's just a good example. And just for those that are into the X's and O's of football, it shows the defensive coordinators, you know, they get creative. They can show different looks. And that's going to confuse offenses and in this instance, confuse Cox a little bit, especially as a young quarterback, where he sees a similar look, and then all of a sudden, once the ball snapped, it's entirely different. So that's something Cox is going to look back on film, and he'll learn as he grows in this offense, and he'll be able to dissect those a little bit better.
Second and 11 for Grand Valley at their own 38-yard line. Cade Peterson in the shotgun, claps his hands, fakes the pitch, throws over the middle, complete, into Warrior territory and brought down at about the 44-yard line.
Well, here's a stat for you. Cade Peterson has yet to throw an incompletion. So he is...
Cody Tierney made that look too easy. First and 10 now at the Warrior 44. Peterson quickly back up in tempo. Throws outside.
Jinxed
Josh Rennell, you jinxed him.
There we go. That's
what
I was hoping
for. Tierney
open
far side of the field and... he misfired.
He did. That's a classic. You hear the broadcaster jinx. It even happens here. So I gotta you know, say well done. Maybe I should do that for a lot more of these Grand Valley players. But Cade Peterson was, Brian, 100% completion, over 100 yards, couple touchdowns. But that one was just a miscommunication.
Second and 10 for the Lakers. They lead 28 to nothing. 6:01 to go here. Going to keep it on the ground. Big hole inside the 40. Very close to a first down. Going to be about 2 yards short. Boy, he didn't get a favorable spot. They're going to mark him, Josh, back at the 37.
You're right.
I thought he got just shy of the 35. So now this is a third and three for Grant
Valley.
Yeah,
it looked like a whole yard short from what I saw as well. But Wayne State will take it. That is going to be Uzma Harper at running back. So they don't have Reed in on this series. Uzma Harper is a sophomore from Frisco, Texas. From Texas is listed as where he transferred from.
Good stuff. Third and three. Peterson, all the time in the world, fires, completes it. Too darn easy. Daryl Johnson up to the 31-yard line. And Grand Valley moves the chains and keeps this drive going. 5 minutes to go here in this second quarter, and Grand Valley already on top 28 to nothing.
And good job, really, by Johnson just to hold on to that football. Dylan Peeks, good tackle. Peeks has been in position to make a lot of plays, and he's pretty sure tackler. That said, Grand Valley picks up the first down. They keep it rolling.
Two receivers split near side, one on the far side, single setback on the quarterback, now Avery Moore's left hip. Avery Moore checks in, barks out the signals, claps his hands, going to keep it on the ground. Finds a hole, lookout, lots of space, up the middle, down towards the 20, first down inside the 20, down to the 19-yard line.
Wayne State's defense is having a very hard time defending that play. That's the same play that they ran on a third and eight that they got earlier in this game, and that time that was a first down they ran it, and again same success, 10 yards, just an outside stretch zone play that Grand Valley runs to perfection. Their offensive line is one of the best in the country, if not the best. They're pretty darn good. Coach Wooster, obviously previously the Wayne State offensive line
Peterson
coach.
Peterson checks back in. The Warriors bring a blitz. It's picked up. Peterson flushed out of the pocket. He's got a lot of space far side. 15 inside the 10, inside the 5, and pushed out of bounds just shy of the goal line. Another big run by Cade Peterson all the way down to the 19-yard line. And I'll tell you what, Josh, a guy 6'4", 223, doesn't look like he's moving fast, but he got down there pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's a case of those long striders. They're making up ground as they go. Doesn't look like he's blazing a trail, but gains a lot of ground. And, again, a similar case to Lola, and that's Loya as a touchdown-saving tackle. Same instance as he did earlier in the football game, brought him down right at the one-yard line.
Lakers with a first and goal at the one-yard line. Peterson in the shotgun, going to hand it off, hit in the backfield, second effort, touchdown.
Wow, and Grant, Sean.
Harper into
Sean,
the end zone.
No, the official blew the whistle early.
Oh.
And that's
I'd
where.
I'd be a little ticked off if I were running
if
back.
I was,
Josh,
I would be very, very ticked off. That was a quick whistle, trying to be impartial on that call. That was certainly where the official thought that he was wrapped up. The official will say his forward momentum was stopped, but that was way too quick. He was stopped and spun out of it.
Let's see if 26 gets it here on this second and goal from the two-yard line. No. Avery's going to run it into the end zone. Too easy. Avery Moore checks in. Keeper from 2 yards out. Grand Valley extends their lead to 34-0, PAT pending. I know we owe our executive producer, Brian Bolesky, another break. We'll get to it right after this kick, Brian. I promise you.
Well, right now, Grand Valley and Wayne State both have 2 timeouts remaining in the half. Be interesting to see how Wayne State plays this last series of the first half. And if are they going to, you know, throw in the towel and say, hey, just going to halftime and trying to run the ball, force Grand Valley to take some timeouts, or are they going to play aggressive?
PAT is up and good, 35-0 here. 2:22 to go here in the second quarter on your home for the Warriors, FM 101.5, AM 1400, The Patriot.
Are you ready? Ready to find the right